Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Hello, friends. Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Hello again. Hello. I just called to say hello. That's Neil Diamond. Okay. You will show some respect for Neil Diamond. So this radio station, on the weekend, they play all requests. Like, if you called, there's this guy on the air named the Roadrunner. He's like 150 years old. And he'll play you a song, sight unseen. Stack of Bibles. Over the weekend, he played Cemetery Gates, which is that's Pantera, right? And then that song ended, and you hear, like, in between the songs, it says, you're listening to Q100 or something like that. The next song is Viva Las Vegas by Elvis Presley. Come on, man. That even the wildness of that type of juxtaposition is so fucking nuts. I listened to it just for the novelty. Linda says, I'm going to request Brand New Key by Melanie. I guarantee you they would play it. You know, Melanie Sofka, she just passed away not long ago. I don't know if you knew that. Which we used to give her shit all the time about that because I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. She was like a Janis Joplin type voice. We used to disrespect her terribly, but she actually was pretty great. Melanie Sofka, and beautiful too. May she rest in peace. Yeah, we used to make fun of her all the time on Freebird Hot Wings. But, and I just got off the phone with the guy who runs the radio station. Maureen says, how about Sugar Sugar by the Archies? I can guarantee you they've played Sugar Sugar by the Archies. You know what else they've played? Ted Nugent's American Campfire. Remember that song that we ripped on? Yeah. There's going to be some things that you'll probably never hear me do on that radio station. The amount of vitriol that I throw at Red Staters cannot happen. There's no way. It isn't about dollars. It's about life and death. If I go on there and make fun of people with 1,000-yard stares, like in Kalkaska, Michigan, where the station is clearly heard, they just kill you. I mean, this is the area where people were doing training missions to try to capture the governor. I am not fucking bullshitting with you here. It is another, way of life. They don't even need grocery stores or gas stations up there. They just live off the land and refine their own fuel. This is a very hardy bunch. You don't cross them. Dono says Right Said Fred followed by Kid Rock. No, you're not going to get Right Said Fred, okay? And, I mean, some people might actually think that that's possible. But, you see, Right Said Fred, that's pop. And this is only based on rock or blues, okay? Tyler says they probably play Try That in a Small Town. Nah, they wouldn't because they're really anti-country there. In fact, I plan on playing Gunner and the Grizzly Boys, but I'd have to start with that song Standard American because it's got a real rock vibe to it and it's all about living off the land, which is what these people do there. I was told news at 7:30. So the way this is my Robin Quivers. All right, we're coming up on bottom of the hour news. This is the Insane Asylum on Q100. Bum, 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 bum. Red-eyed right-wing news with Lon Hannity, Sean Hannity's son. Joe Biden is an asshole. Donald Trump is God. I mean, that's the type of news. The boss even just said to me, he goes, yeah, it's like right-wing news. I go, oh, yeah, of course. And then there's like a sportscast, too. Somebody does, I don't know who these people are. There's a guy waiting there, okay, and his job is to do this newscast. And he's got, like, Trump shoes on. His pants are an American flag. His shirt is a poncho of the Gadsden flag. You know, that one with the stupid fucking snake on it. And then he's got a red, white, and blue cowboy hat. And then he finishes the news by saying, this has been right-wing news. Fuck Antifa or something like that, or say no to Black Lives Matter. I'm your reporter with the news. Nick says Ted Nugent, come and take it. Come and take it news. So there's going to be times like the other day, they in Grayling, they just unveiled a Fred Bear statue. I am not kidding you. For the past year, they've been raising money from donors for the Fred Bear statue, because that's where he started bear archery. He is the father of modern day archery hunting, Fred Bear. And they built a statue for him because his shop, I guess, started as a shop, was in Grayling. And he's dead now. But they had the big ceremony this past weekend, and you pay, like, you buy a brick, you donate, and you get your name on a brick. Well, so they had the Fred Bear statue unveiling over the weekend on Friday or Saturday. And Ted Nugent called in to JC's show. Now, if that happens to me, I have to do, like, a legitimate interview. I can't let my personal feelings get in the way of the interview. And he has always been very nice to me. Even when I go, Ted, we're live as hell, man. We're live as hell. And he goes, yes, that's right, easy. I tell you what, the accoutrements of modern technology are off the rails. Whoa. Yeah, that's right. We're live as hell. And modern technology at that point was phone. I just had a conversation with somebody about that moment on that edition of Who Are These Zanes, when we were marveling at the ability for Ted to pick up a telephone, for me to pick up a phone when he calls and to say, hang on, Ted, and put a button and he's on the radio. Wow. Isn't that something? Essentially, technology and radio didn't change from the advent of radio till like about that moment. And then advancements in technology started to put the entire industry in overdrive. And all of the people that own radio stations realized that they can save a lot of money if they fire everybody. And they can put, you can pre-record all your air shifts, you know, voice tracking. I don't think Q100 voice tracks at all. But what they do do is when there's nobody on the air, it just rolls the automation. So you hear music and then hot voice lady says, you're listening to Q100. Yeah. And then it goes into the next song. That's the automation. I don't think anybody actually records. I don't think they have the software to do that there. Even though most of the radio industry has had that for like 30 years. Q100 is pretty bare bones. What interview over the past years, over the years, had you the most nervous or starstruck? Probably that Ted Nugent interview, because it was so early on in my experience level. I had no experience with that. So, you know, at that time I was like very much sounding like I was on crack all the goddamn time. Was there anybody who made me nervous? I think as I got more like into the career, there was less of that. It just became like, basically desensitized to it. So there was a lot of famous people that we talked to. Like at the time, John Cena was at the top. Well, he's still pretty prominent in his field. Those were all cool interviews, people I liked to talk to. I loved talking to Bill Cosby before all the shit hit the fan. Barack Obama, he was running for president, and he was very nice, very, very nice. A bunch of NASCAR people. Mike Tyson on BBL. I was very excited to do that. But he's hard to talk to. Corey Taylor says that would have been mine. That was a great interview. Thank you. You know the good thing about Corey Taylor? I didn't know who the fuck that guy was. I didn't know anything about that guy. Ron Bennington. Oh, great example of through the roof nerves. Not only was it Bennington, it was Fuckface Voss, it was Robert Kelly, and there was more. Wasn't there four? Voss, Impractical Jokers, comic, New York, really nice guy. Friend of Zumach, Jim something. Not Jim Norton. Creeps with Kids. It was Robert Kelly, Bennington, Voss, and Jim something. Florentine, that's the guy. Oh, that was bad. You're not kidding. That was just a bad interview. I tell you the ones that were the most uncomfortable. Some of those were just super uncomfortable. That was one of them. The people that sucked were the best. Greg Brady, Barry Williams was an asshole. And then the ultimate bizarro moment was, what's the guy's name with the teeth? And he's all fucked up now. He's an actor. He was like a really good actor. And then I think he was doing like 150 miles an hour at his motorcycle. And he fell and he bashed his brains against the ground. He's all fucked up. And what was the name of that guy? Blonde hair. Been around for a long time. He played Buddy Holly. He was like, I think he was, he won an Academy Award or some shit with Buddy Holly. That Gary Buddy, that's it. No, it's not Gary Buddy. The character was Buddy Holly. Busey, God damn it, that's it. Gary Busey, holy shit. That fucker. Oh, was he a dick. And I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. Walks into the radio station. This is at WIMZ. Now, the WIMZ is a fantastic building. It's on top of a mountain in Knoxville, Tennessee, right in the center of town. This ridge runs right through the city called Sharp's Ridge. And you had to, I'll never forget how steep of a hill it was to get up that fucking thing. And so we're waiting for Busey to arrive. I don't know, he's retarded. He comes walking in and he is pissed off because we don't have cream for the coffee. We have the powdery stuff you pour into it. You have any cream here? You have any cream? Hey, got any cream here? And Susan, the lady who worked in the office, I forgot her last name, doesn't matter. She's like, it's right there, Carrie. And he's like, this is not cream. This is imitation powder, and it's going to give me cancer. Hey, this is not cream. And she's like, well, that's what we got, Gary. I don't tell you. Fuck you. She walks away. So Maureen says, that actor with the teeth, great clue. And then he comes walking into the studio, and he takes off his coat. And I forgot who he gave it to, but whoever it was set it on the chair, like draped it over a chair back. And it was a long coat, went down to his knees. It was made from like wool. It was like the same type of material as like a top coat. And I'll never forget it because it had like almost like brushes on the top, like he was an admiral or something like that, and gold buttons all the way down. And he goes, hey, careful with that coat. And we're like, what? He goes, that was given to me by Steven Seagal on the set of Under Siege. And I guard that coat with my life. You can't just put that coat, he's from Oklahoma, on the back of the chair like that. And we're like, oh, oh my God, you fuck. So everybody is kind of like, oh yeah, no problem. Somebody like picked up the coat and like hung it up on like a hanger, like to appease this son of a bitch. And then we got about a minute to go. 2 minutes to go. Commercials are playing. We're about to go live. Everybody's looking. Everybody's side eye, and I'm there. Bill Kitt. It's just Bill and myself. And Phil was gone at that point from the Phil and Billy show. And he is there on behalf of the Philadelphians, which is a prison ministry organization. These people go into prisons and preach the good word to people who are incarcerated and try to get them to turn over a new leaf, give their soul to God, be born again. And so he is speaking about them, okay? But the game always is with these things. You bring in a celebrity, you talk to them about celebrity stuff, and then, oh, why are you here? And then you talk why they're really there. It's a simple game. And the lady from the Philadelphia, she goes, now, Gary, these nice men, she knows he's crazy. We're just figuring it out. She goes, these nice men, they really want to talk to you about the Philadelphians, which is the name of this group. But they're going to talk to you about your historic career in film, too, because it is such a story. And that'll lead nicely into all of your wonderful work in helping us spread the good word. And he looks at this woman who brought him in. She drove him there. And Gary Busey goes, I'm not talking about goddamn Hollywood. I'm here to talk about you and Jesus, goddammit. And he's actually saying that. And everybody's grossed out and mortified. We're like, oh my God, Jesus Christ, he's losing his mind. I will talk about the Philadelphians and only the Philadelphians. And he's yelling at her. And she goes, this was a terrible idea. Immediately her makeup starts running. She looks like a panda bear. It's running down. Oh my God. Chris Dolman. Oh my God. And she's weaving. She runs out of the room. you hear running down the hall going, oh my God, what have I done? And we're all looking at Gary like he's some kind of son of a bitch. I'm like, God, Jesus Christ. We've got about 15 seconds. And Bill, we don't even know what we're talking about. And this psycho has just made this woman cry. And Bill goes, well, we better figure this out fucking fast. We got 15 seconds. We better find out what the fuck we're talking about. I'm taking charge of this motherfucker. Now you just talk. We're going to ask you questions. You answer them, all right? Now, goddammit, it's my radio show. Fuck, everybody perked up. And the mics go on, and Bill's like, ah, no, 103.5 WIMZ is Phil and Billy, Billy and Zane in the morning. And we're joined by a legendary Hollywood actor. One and only Gary Busey is joining us. Gary, how are you? Hello, Bill. He was fucking perfect. He turned it on, and immediately he was like, hi, Bill. It is so good to be here. I'm here on behalf of the Philadelphians. What a great organization, but I am just so happy to be invited. What a beautiful studio and what a view overlooking the beautiful city of Knoxville. I see Mount LeConte in the distance. Holy cow. This is what a sight to behold. The sun is rising over East Tennessee. Bill, thank you for having me. Well, that's great, Gary. Anyway, yeah, we're going to talk about the Philadelphians in just a minute. So what was it like working with Steven Seagal when he gave you that jacket or whatever the fuck? And it turns out, I am not kidding you, that interview was fucking great. Somehow, after all of that, we got a woman screaming and crying, a stupid jacket. He doesn't get cream in his coffee. He's just laying waste to people. And somehow that interview went off without a hitch. And we turned off the microphone, and that motherfucker leaves, and we're like, what the fuck just happened? Holy shit. That goddamn maniac. And this is before the world knew he's a psycho. Then he starts showing up on all of those reality shows. And then the word in radio started to get around that, excuse me, he's a lunatic. Wow. Still in my possession to this day. I have a picture. I've mentioned it many times. It's in a box somewhere in this house. I'm no more than 100 feet away from it right now. It's myself, Bill, and Gary. Right after the incident. Right after the interview. One day, that picture will be made available to you. Also, one day, it'll be made available to you. The Gary Busey interview, which honestly, the only thing interesting about the interview, I mean, it's fine. It's a good enough interview. But the most interesting part is all the shit that happened before it. Look at Bruce. Check him out. He's getting on his back. Oh, my God. Kenny is here. I guess his skin has somehow toughened up a little bit. After the beatdown he got today, he has apparently not yet left the building. Oh, my God. Completely inappropriate behavior on his part. I see he's here. He writes, he was that picky. Fuck, powdered creamer is fine. Under Siege, great movie before Steven Seagal turned into an a-hole, I think. Kenny writes, wow, made that lady cry for no reason. Yikes. Maureen says, I thought you were going to say you stole his stupid coat. Adam writes, Joe Perry from Aerosmith seemed asleep during his interview. I do not recall ever speaking to him. Really? We interviewed Joe Perry? God damn. All right. We got onto that topic because of talking about how I'll probably have to interview people who I wouldn't normally interview nowadays. Like, I would have to wall off all of the things I don't like about people. Like, there's a lot of reasons why I don't like Ted Nugent nowadays. I would not seek him out. But it wouldn't be out of the question for the radio station to say, hey, Ted Nugent is at the Fredbear statue unveiling, or he's going to call in. You have to talk to him. And I'll be like, eh, all right. It's not, when you're in a spot that I'm in, I don't have, well, I wouldn't want to do anything to alienate myself at this point at all. And I don't think I ever will. I've just gotten too old for that. But you never know. Like, I was told, hey, guess what? On Wednesday, you are going to be talking with Keith from the local jewelry store. Oh, yeah? Cool. And I'm like, well, how does it work? What's going on? Well, the local jewelry store's slug line is, we got you covered. So on Wednesdays, we do a feature where Keith calls up and he tells me about a great cover song, and then I play the cover song. How about that? Frankly, it's not a bad idea. You know? So, I mean, I'm all about sharing the distribution of the workload. And if Keith from the local jewelry store wants to come on to talk about diamonds and pearls and a cover song, well, I'm the guy for that. I am your cover song diamonds and pearls expert. Maureen says, you're a professional. You can do things you don't want to do if you have to. Of course. Yeah. But, you know, when it comes to all of the, again, if you were to show me in like layers, you have like the full thing, all the layers of me. You know me inside and out. There's going to be numerous things that the new audience has no idea about. And will probably never know unless they, you know, discovered the podcast. Then maybe discovered the Patreon. Because there are things on the free podcast that I reveal that I would never dream about discussing or revealing on the radio or saying. And there are things on the Patreon that I would never dream revealing on the free podcast. Okay? So that's all kind of how this all seems to be working out. And I'm here for every minute of it. And I hope you are too. Impatient listener of the day award goes to USA number one. And that's the only thing I know this sweet person has is a follower on Patreon and subscribes for tier one, which is $5 a month and gets all of the audio. And I'm so fortunate to have that. USA number one writes, are your Sunday shows going up for audio? And I was like, huh? Come again. I don't understand the question, I wrote. USA number one says, well, you did Who Are These Zanes and Ben and Eric yesterday, right? Not up yet for audio only feed. Yes, that's true. However, typical Monday, wake up, free podcast, Patreon podcast. A little bit of time in between, away we go. Essentially, this is on my list of things to do. So I wrote, it's on my list of things to do today, Mr. Impatient. USA number one says, thank you. I'll hang up and listen. Look, yes, in a timely manner, the audio is put on display. However, there are many advantages to people who pay $10 a month. They've already enjoyed that show. Of course, the audio is made available a day, sometimes two afterwards. Typically on a Thursday, the audio for Who Are These Zanes or Who Are These Free Beers or the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast is made available either Friday or Saturday, typically. So it's still right in that window. Just as a reminder, this is how it lays out on the show when it comes to you do get what you pay for. There are tier two people who spend their hard-earned money on the video, the live streams, and the audio. They get it first for a reason, because they paid for it. And I can't wait to share the audio with you, which I will have done. You'll have it this afternoon. I can promise you that. I thought you knew that. You've been around here a while. Nick says, Art Bell used to say the best way to interview wackos is to let them be crazy and don't argue. Them being nuts is the best entertainment. I love it. And thank you for putting that into words. I had a good talk with Nick over the weekend. Nick told me, Nick's in the clear now. He's got a good woman. But there was a time when Nick had a not so great woman. Oh my God. This poor son of a bitch. Life was hard. Things got messy for that poor man. Kenny writes, don't you ultimately hope that people who listen to the station eventually discover the podcast and Patreon even maybe? More listeners would always be good, right? Well, I don't know yet. My fear is I want people to discover me after they trust me or after they like me. But I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. You realize that this is not for everyone. And it's one thing if a person discovers, like the other day with Bleeding Heart Braden, you know, all gung-ho, loves the content. I say one thing he doesn't like and he doesn't agree with, and he loses his fucking mind. Now, that's not the end of the world. What my point is, if that happened from a radio person who then finds this podcast and likes it, and then one thing sets them off, they might not just leave. They might leave and then fucking have a temper tantrum and make life miserable for me through the radio station. You know? And then that brings up a whole new set of problems. So, I don't know. I haven't yet figured that out as to what's going to happen. Is there any concern a radio listener finds out about the podcast, listens and hears you say retarded sometimes, and calls the station to tell on you? Well, the way I look at it is, I would say that is, I don't know if that's a concern. I'm saying that's a possibility. I don't think it's a concern because I would hope that the radio station has done their diligence and they are well aware of what they are getting themselves into and are well aware of what flies out of my mouth. And believe me, as I sign that contract, which, I mean, all it does is binds us both, I'll be clear to say, now, are you sure you want to do this? Because this is what you're going to get. You're aware of what you're getting here. Because JC was like, yeah, you can talk about the podcast, but you got to tell everybody it's R-rated. It's like, well, I'll do a lot more than tell them it's R-rated. And I don't plan on talking about it for the foreseeable future. Because these are two, and yes, there's microphones, and yes, people are listening, but they are very, very different animals. You have to seek a podcast out, so you're not going to get a lot of hate listeners. You might get them on board and then make them hate you, like...
Suck a big black dick because I know you want to.
Or
I'm a 50-year-old man doing what a 50-year-old man should.
But or Bleeding Heart Braden with oh my God, you love genocide. You're a baby killer. You know, there's that. But I don't know. Surely the people at the station offering you this job understand you're different here. Yeah. I'd be shocked if they didn't, but you never know. I know if I had a radio station and I was going to bring somebody onto it, I would be damn sure about what they've what they talk about on their podcast. If they did it, I'd be all over that fucking thing. I suspect that they watch every goddamn day. In fact, I know for a fact that on the first day that I started talking about this, they hey, we saw your podcast today. And they don't listen. They always watch it on like Facebook or some other shit. And so I made sure on Monday, and they did say that they listened or watched. I made sure on Monday to drop as many motherfucks as possible. Okay. You got to go full motherfucker if someone like in this case, because you want them well aware so that there's no fucking surprises. And they go, you know, yeah, we brought you in here, but this is, we didn't know you. You had a foul mouth and you said retard and shit. I'd be like, motherfucker, I've been talking about, been doing this for more than half a decade, you asshole. How could you possibly not know that? You follow me on Facebook. Kenny says, how long did Bleeding Heart Braden listen? 2 or 3 days? No, Braden started in January, the very early part of January. Convert from Free Beer and Hot Wings. He's like, oh, man, I'm so glad I found this. Young guy, too. And, oh, he heard my stance on, Palestine gets what they get. They pick that goddamn fight. What do you want them to do? Jesus Christ. Enough is enough.
Oh, you love genocide. You're into genocide. Huck, I won't stand for it. I won't stand for it.
And then one of his messages, he wrote, I'll still subscribe and still listen. And I'm thinking to myself, why would you do that? Why would you put yourself through that? I'm going to destroy you. Sure enough, he cancels. I'm like, well, that's more like it. I mean, if you, at least you stood by your word. I mean, first he said he was going to keep listening. He's like, how can you possibly keep listening if you think that I support genocide? You're going to continue to support me? Now, as crazy as that sounds, and you all know I don't support genocide, you asshole. Jesus Christ. Kenny says you had a good point with that. I mean, what would that guy expect the U.S. to do if that... Okay, let's say there's, in America, there's a convention of moms with their babies, and they're celebrating all things toddler. Okay. And there's 5,000 mommies with babies and grandparents all there. And the Wiggles are on stage, or what's the name of that dog? Bluey, that all the kids love. Bluey's on the goddamn stage with all these power moms and babies. And everybody's going, Bluey, yay! And they're having a great time. And, you know, it's a big mom fest. And then a terror group shows up and kills them all. And then it takes more of them hostage and cuts their heads off. How do you expect the U.S. to retaliate? I would hope that... the war would be over in 1 minute because we would drop a nuclear bomb on them. Actually, I take it back. I would want them to slowly annihilate everyone from the host country. Okay? Give me a fucking break. Chris says we would half-ass it for 20 years and then pull out, leaving billions in equipment behind. Well, not it at Club Easy. So that's why that pussy earned the name Bleeding Heart Braden. And if I ever see his fucking name re-sign up, I'm refunding his money and blocking him. Fuck that guy. I don't have time for that bullshit. In fact, That pussy can actually hear what I'm saying now, because when you cancel, you get the rest of the month through Patreon. So fuck off and don't come back. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Patreon bonus podcast. I love you all, even Kenny. Your dick! Till next time, see ya. Podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures on Patreon. Facebook is down. Everything is down associated with Facebook. So what? Exactly. So what? Chris informed me of this. Who's here right now? I see him there. And he's like, yeah, Facebook's down and it's Super Tuesday. Coincidence? And I'm like, yeah, it is. I don't understand why. Okay, let's say it's not. What does that do? Nothing. That doesn't. How does that affect anything? The only way that can affect something is if weirdos like you come up with plot points to make this a thing. This is what the fucking Rogans and the Alex Jones and these right-wing wackos do to discuss shit. They, like, fabricate stuff out of thin air. Chris even says to me, because I think there is a tinge of retard in him, coincidence on a Super Tuesday. Now, truth be told, I was actually glad that I saw it, because I did have problems on. I'm still having problems. I tried to post my podcast, the free podcast, on there, and I couldn't do it. So I was like, "Oh shit, I don't know what the fuck's going on," and I didn't think another thing of it. I go, yeah, hey, I was wondering about that. And yes, it is a coincidence. He says, no, you got to stir the conspiracy pot. It's like, I don't do that shit. Fuck that. I've got enough going on in my life that I don't need to do that. I mean, the only reason why people do that in the first place is so that there's something to talk about. Wasn't that a song by, it was somebody, some chick singer. Let's give them something to talk about. What was that? Hold on. Faith Hill? Reba McEntire. Was that Reba McEntire? Maybe it was Shania Twain? I think it's Shania Twain, right? That's the only reason why conspiracy theories exist. For people to bark shit out so that morons will eat it up. The people who even discuss the conspiracy theories, they don't believe it, Bonnie Raitt. They don't believe it themselves. They just do it to make everybody go, oh! Okay? And that's the formula. Wash, rinse, repeat. It's all fiction. We can actually see buildings fly into planes, and moments after, people will tell you, you did not see buildings flying into planes. That's the world that we live in. It shouldn't even be a news story that Facebook is down. But the fucking morons who wrote this story for TechCrunch.com worded it as Facebook, Instagram, and Threads are all down in massive Meta outage on Super Tuesday. Chris says buildings fly into planes easy. I meant to say planes flying into buildings. That's what I meant to say. If I did say that. Did I say that? I don't know. Well, anyway, so I just found it ridiculous that this that TechCrunch would write it that way. But I'm sure more people will because of the Chris's out there in the world and the other morons that exist who love to perpetuate a silly shit like this. It's just some fucking nerd pulled the plug on the deal. That's what happened. Troubles seem to have started at some point after 10 a.m. That works out because that's when I was trying to post myself. It's highly unusual for Meta to be experiencing a widespread outage like this, given the size and scale of its network and the redundancies built in. For that reason, here we go. Some people, like Chris K, are suspicious about the origins of the outage, particularly because it's an election day across a number of U.S. states, which means millions of people are headed to the polls to vote. Yeah, I just don't know how that would affect things. It wouldn't affect anything. That's like, that's not cause and effect. Like if it were election day and it was reported that there's a new virus for pets. And then you said there is a new virus that is affecting pets across America on election day. Adam says it's already back now. Hey, it's Eric Zane here to tell you about my new favorite marketing partner, Mint Mobile. For the longest time, we've been paying way too much for our cell phone service, our plans, whatever it is, mobile device, whatever you want to call it. Every so often, they like put the screws to you just a little bit at a time. You don't even notice. Next thing you know, you check out the bill. You're like, wait a minute. This is not what I decided to pay for. What has happened? Okay, forget all of that. You can skip it all right now. Everything is about to change for you. Mint Mobile is the key. With Mint Mobile, you'll never, never have to worry about gotchas ever again. That's what I'm talking about, where they slowly raise your prices that you pay. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. Say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All the plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You're like, EZ, tell me more. This is all you do. I did this. All my family has done this. And you should too. To get the new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Zane. That's good anywhere. mintmobile.com/Zane. Cut your wireless bill from whatever ridiculous amount that you're paying each month to $15 a month. mintmobile.com/Zane. Pay attention to this legalese. $45 upfront payment. That is equivalent to the $15 a month for 3 months. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower, 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Don't even worry about that. I use that and it's no big deal. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
This asshole writes, the fact that it is Super Tuesday is very, very sus. That's what you got to say. You got to say sus nowadays. Oh, man, that's sus. It's so sus. It's very sus. I don't know, man. It's very sus of you to do that. This outage then comes at a terrible time for any candidates or political organizations looking to do last-minute voter outreach efforts to those reminding people to go vote. Look. And thank you, Megan. Darla and the ears. Darla's licking Bruce's ears. We just can't have that. Are you going to stop, Darla? There's nothing that the last minute voting, whatever, on Facebook that they just described is going to do anything. The only thing that matters on this voting day is the presidency. Okay? And if Biden is on a ballot, like if there's a Democratic primary, he will win that because there's no one else. If there is a Republican primary, Trump is going to win that. Nothing Facebook can do can change any of that. So all of you dumbasses, this was all started by Chris, who seemed to think that Facebook being out has something to do with the fact that it's Super Tuesday. Y'all can shut the fuck up. Patrick says, I'm 40. I had some dude my age say, that's sus to me the other day. I made him repeat himself like repeatedly, like I didn't understand. Yeah, I love that. Like you've got people that are using that and they use it so much and they expect you to speak the way they speak. And if you don't, they like, oh, you're a fucking boomer. How disgusting. You're not saying thoth. Very thoth. Shut the fuck up. Chris says, you are welcome. Yeah, you know, you may have given me something to talk about here, which I never need. Okay, you just happen to be the one that popped into my brain 3 seconds before I hit go on this shit. This gives you a great idea about how easy it is to sidetrack me. You ding-dongs can give me a stupid story about something like this, and I'll talk about it. That's as bad as Kenny announcing his birthday. Of course I'm going to talk about that. Which, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know this, but I think he's outfoxed all of us. I want you to wrap your mind around, if we're talking conspiracy theories, here's one that I'm actually behind. He's actually tough as nails and just fucking with all of us. All right? Hold on a second. Darla! This is all a game to him. He's probably got inside betting going on with a bunch of his friends about whether or not he can turn this show on its ear in a moment's notice. Like, say, all right, hey, just tell everybody it's your birthday. And then watch it just come unraveled. So I think he's crazy like a fox. All right? He manipulated the whole show today with his gaslighting. First, birthday. Then the subsequent beat up. Then acting like he's dreading it to get us all to go, oh. All that shit. All of that is an act. I'm telling you. He's probably a millionaire many times over. It's fucking his world. We're just living in it. Because no one could actually be that sus, frankly. Tyler says, I don't think we can rule out the coincidence that Facebook is down on Kenny's birthday. It's absolutely true. But that is also a great example of how, if you stick into my brain somehow, I will push everything that I want to talk about aside to talk about what's on my brain. And it happened to be Fuckface Chris starting a stupid conspiracy theory about Facebook. I got to see right now if I can log into mine. I don't know. It's still making me log in. Whatever. Excuse me. My bad. All right. We need to review this picture here. Summer 1990. This is at a The Corner in Grayling, Michigan. Little do I know that when this picture is taken, we are just 34 years away from me taking over the airwaves at the radio station that's about 1 mile from where I'm standing in this picture. All right? 1 mile. They used to promote the fish and wing ding dinners. That's like the biggest thing in Grayling. All right? The fish and wing ding dinners. They still do fish and wing ding dinner now there. They promote it in this spot. And it's so big, they advertise it twice. It's once on this side of the sign right here, and then here, too. This is the sign that has all the letters that you can change. And it said fish and wing ding dinner. So the F was where the S is. And then the ISH. I don't know where the T came from. But I noticed that I could get away with changing those letters to say shit and wing ding dinner. So I did it. And then I got out of Diana's geo tracker. I remember I was very intoxicated when this picture was taken. And she snapped it from her geo tracker. And then I think I finger banged her. That's all we did back then. So this is a historic picture in our household. Not lost on me is the fact that my hair is dark and I am fucking ripped. I'll bet you I was like 150 pounds, a little ball of muscle. So you're welcome. I know that made all of you very wet. I might try to recreate that picture at some point because that sign is still there to this day. 34 years later. Holy shit. I need you to watch a documentary. This is what I want you to watch. It's called Butterbean's Comeback, One More Fight. I got to be careful here because this is on Facebook and I don't want to fuck it up so that we can't see it. Because if I hit like refresh, it'll ruin it. I don't want to do that. Okay, so this is Butterbean. Some of you remember him from like Tough Man and he'd wear the red, white, and blue trunks. Fat guy, but he would win all the Tough Man contests. Ah, shit. Back in the day. He's only like 3 years older than I am. In fact, he's from Jasper, Alabama. When I was on the air at Z93, him and I crossed paths more than once. When I was on the air there in Saginaw, Bay City, Midland, that is the home of Tough Man. It was invented there by a guy by the name of Art Dore. And Butterbean entered one of these Tough Mans that would kind of tour around the country. And that's how he became famous. So he would come to like the, he was like a top act, you know, but at these tough man shows. And he just beat the shit out of everybody. That became a pro boxing career. And I think Butterbean might have won some type of title at some point during the year. And they made like video games about him and shit like that. And there was a Tough Man video game. I know he was on the cover of that thing. In fact, in the 5 years that I've done this podcast, I actually caught up with Butterbean. And I had a conversation with him. It's somewhere in the archives of the podcast. If you were to go search my podcast page on Red Circle, you would actually be able to find my chat with Butterbean. Well, as it would go, though, as he aged and got out of the game, his weight ballooned. And then he has a degenerative hip issue where your hip and my hip helps us, you know, move appropriately. His hips are a little sus, and they've actually become fused, and they just don't work right. So that's why he's all fucked up. He was in a chair. He would walk hunched over, and so this 18-minute documentary, you got to watch it because it's called One More Fight, and all I'll tell you is that there's Diamond Dallas Page is a retired pro wrestler who has come up with a type of yoga technique. Yoga, not all yoga is the same. His in particular focuses on strength, but you're going to hit the other things like the flexibility and muscle stamina and stuff like that. DDP has helped people who couldn't walk anymore to walk. And this guy is the real deal. And I if you tell you what, if there's any way, he really, really helps a lot of people. So now this 18 and a half minute video, it's a short documentary. I wish it were longer. Chronicles Butterbean's attempt to save his own life. And man, it's gonna move you. I am telling you, you are gonna love this. Holy shit. I was on cloud nine while watching that. Are you like that where you see somebody in real life have like something's fucked up and they somehow quit feeling sorry for themselves and they put their fucking foot down and they turn that shit around, and the next thing you know, they're soaring to new heights in like record time. That moment of redemption to me is just so goddamn powerful. I want so much of that. Okay. I'm not saying like me. I mean, I want to actually witness it. I love watching those stories of people who just refuse to just give in, and they just they get the eye of the tiger, baby, eye of the tiger. You know, maybe that's why our pal Adam Balboa loves Rocky so much. I'll bet you it is. I bet you it has something to do with that. That's the any type of redemption story arc where somebody comes back and says, "Fuck you, I'm not dead yet." I love those stories. Holy shit! Damn it, really, really good. So take some time and go see it. In fact, I have a link on my Facebook page. And seriously, it's a fast watch. I don't know what the fuck they're doing over there, because they could have made a fucking 10-part Netflix series on this. And I would have watched every goddamn bit of it. They crammed it all into 18 minutes. It's like, you assholes, you could have helped a lot more people if you stretch your shit out. I mean, big deal. You put it out on YouTube. Who gives a shit? And I highly recommend, I recommend you look into DDP yoga if you want to help yourself. I'll just tell you that. I've never done it. I just believe in it. Patrick says, Zane and DDP are one and the same. Loved how DDP fixed Scott Hall. I believe hot wings could, the word's covered up. Could blank hot wings broke, could fix hot wings broken self. No. I tried to fix Hot Wings' broken self. I remember the one time Hot Wings told a story about when he was at the airport. You might remember this. And he smashed the rental car by driving into a pole. Now, I don't know how many times I've told him this, and you may notice this, that if I have something interesting to tell you, I tell you the end first. So, like for Madison, Madison went to the emergency room and she's fine. That's the first thing I'll tell you. Then I go back and fill in the details. It's the simplest way to do this. I try to tell Fuckface that, and the words would bounce off of him. The one day in particular, he told that story. And I was able to get him into the office, and we're both into the office. And I actually said, hey, I'm going to listen to that segment from earlier today. And I hit play on it. And I remember the number was 9 because I said, Hotwings, it took you 9 minutes to get to anything that's memorable or good. You could have told us the first thing in 1 second, and then you would have had us for the rest of the details. As it was, you droned on and on for 9 minutes before you got to anything good. Everybody's checked out of the story. No one's invested in it because you do such a piss poor job of telling it. And I told it to him just like that. And he actually said, you know what? You're right. And I go, I know I'm right. Do it. Do that. And has that ever happened? Of course not. Every Hot Wing story starts with the very basic beginnings. And then he drags you through it until you're a bloody pulp mess of boredom. And then he gets to something possibly interesting at the end of it. Oh, God. So bad. Patrick says there's a DDP documentary about Jake the Snake. That's pretty long. Very similar story. I love that one. I know exactly. Scott Hall, too. Scott died of, I believe, a blood clot from a surgery or some shit like that. And he went to cardiac arrest or something like that. Okay. Last night near the city of Warren, there was a massive fire. This is in Clinton Township. It's a town or two over. This is near where Charity Scam Mike lives. He could hear what I'm about to play for you going on. So, I guess the explosions were propane tanks? Like, how many propane tanks do you have? Now, whatever is exploding there is flying 1 whole mile. Because they told people that were in the area, stay inside. We are getting debris landing 1 mile away. Now, the cops went on and said, everybody's got to get out of here. People have to stop shooting video with their phones. It's like, no, I am going to shoot video with my phone. I need this. This needs to be documented. The world needs to see this. Did you see that thing just fly? Watch it fly out and go to, I don't know if it's my right or your left, but. Right there. Did you see that thing? That was a missile. And this doesn't stop. This goes on and on and on. Look at this chick walking. Look how close she is. Oh my God. Different view. Oops. The fuck is that? Buy some wholesale boxes. Different view. Wow! Okay, I think almost as remarkable is the lack of information about what the fuck was blowing up there. What was blowing up? What caused it? I guess it'll take some time to figure that out, but it just gave you the size of the fire there. You're able to see that, but that is fucking huge. Megan writes all caps, finally. You know, I don't know what it is that's going on there, but it just seems like you're really, really going out of your way to be mean to me today. You writing finally, I don't know. I don't know how to take that. Like either it's, oh God, I had to wade through all that crap that happened earlier today and the first part of this podcast to get to this, or, I mean, what do you mean there? She says, I'm just excited that we're talking about it. Are you sure? Because I get the impression that you've really wanted to rub my nose and dog shit today. Okay. All right. I'll just take your word for it that you're excited that we're talking about it. That's true. Tyler says, I don't know what happened there, but I'm guessing it has to do with something with Super Tuesday. Megan says, I am not. I have told you about dogs I've met and talked about Darla trying to get down with Bruce. Okay, as long as we're on the same page. All right. Well, thank you. Okay. The latest story out of Michigan State University. What I've noticed about Michigan State is the frequency and the interval that you hear about something terrible about someone affiliated with that school. And it just seems like, you know, if you go back to every weirdo incident that's happened, at some point, all these people had to be hired and brought into the school. And I don't know if it's the hiring process or who's doing the hiring or it's just coincidence. But from the school that brought us Larry Nassar and numerous athletic sexual incidents and Mel Tucker with the activist trying to teach the athletes how to behave around women and then him pounding his putt on the phone with her. One thing after another with this university. And just when you think it's about to start dying down, you know, something else terrible happens. The latest is one of the professors who is really into child porno. Iskander Arafin has been charged with 3 counts of possessing child pornography and 3 related counts of using a computer device to commit a crime. God damn. 49-year-old professor thinks that he can pull it off and get his child porno. Jesus. Charges come following an investigation done on Arafin by the Michigan State Police Computer Crimes Unit. I don't know if it necessarily gives the way that they found this out, but I would venture to guess that these crime task forces might even, it's a horrible job if you think about it, might pose as a child. Now, I don't think he's accused of trying to sexually assault a child here. He's accused of having child porno. Their ability to catch people, and I don't know if it's they actually have child porno that they make available and see, like almost like a fishing hook worm and seeing who bites. I mean, I don't know if that's how it is or if somebody ratted them out. My God. But Jesus, it is just remarkable what these maniacs will do. And the risk that they will put themselves, they'll put themselves in harm's way just so that they can, God damn it. Do you think there's ever been a time in history where someone knew that he was like attracted to little kids and actually said, okay, there's something wrong with me. And then got out in front of it and like got help and it actually worked. I'm wondering if that's even documented of a pedophile who is like unpedophiled, or are they like hardwired that way? You know how when like Michael Vick, he got busted for dog fighting and then, you know, he turned over a new leaf and then he became like an advocate as best as he could and he got his career back and, you know, he was able to resume his football career. Is that even possible with someone who's into kids? Like if Michael Vick got into child porno, would he have been allowed back in the league if he had the same level of turning over a new leaf? I seriously doubt that there has ever been one person who has had their proclivities turned around. Megan says, I learned a lot about this during the Josh Duggar trial. The dark web is not a secret place. Linda points out, CMU has never had a scandal like that. Glad I went there instead. My God. So anyway, that's just unbelievable that MSU, once again, same level of shit. What a bunch of assholes. My God. Anybody who roots for MSU, you might as well, then you are complicit. If you are an MSU supporter at this point, what are you doing? How can you possibly do that? I mean, what's it going to take for you to stop trying to support a school that supports this type of culture? All right, that's it from me to you. Thank you for being here. Talk to you later on. Have a good one, folks. Bye-bye. All right. How about this? Welcome in to the Patreon bonus podcast. I don't want to waste much time in getting into the story. Stevie says, I'm so confused. Late to the early podcast, and now it's Patreon time. Yes. All your questions will be answered. The early podcast started early because I have to be somewhere, and it was short. So it started early, only half hour, immediate start to the Patreon, and then off I go. You must go back and listen to, well, I guess it really doesn't matter. The point, a good portion of the free podcast, I was teasing what I'm about to tell you right now. And that is, I was fired again yesterday. Stop me if you've heard this one. So this has all the classic easy elements. Me, my mouth, the notification that I'm fired over the phone, and me talking about a sponsor. Four. The twist, though, is I was defending the sponsor. I was rushing to defend the sponsor.
that this happened.
So let me just go to the end. This is, remember I told you about how I tried to get it through Hot Wings' head? This is how you tell a story. You start with the finish, and then you fill in the blanks. So, yesterday, I was fired by Gift of Life Michigan. Yeah, the organization that wants you to, fill out your donor card and wonderful group. Terrific people. Fantastic. Work tirelessly to help people. I love these people. And years ago, I became the media ambassador for Gift of Life. Spokesperson. They go, this is perfect. We have someone who has a platform, is out in front of them, and is screaming from the mountaintops about the importance of organ donation. And it's fantastic because he actually donated an organ. He's the guy. So they file in. I'm like, oh, I love you so much. Thank you. I'm so happy to do this. This is great. And I would talk about them like nearly every day about how it's important for you. And I don't want anybody to not donate their organs. This isn't about that. This is nothing like that. This is just the story. I don't have anything bad to say about them. Well, maybe a little bit. I'm still really, really pissed off. But, I mean, these are people that are doing God's work. Organ donation. I mean, obviously, that is very near and dear to me. So, when they said, we want you to tell the world about what we do, Easy. I'm like, oh, well, my God, this is fantastic. Look at all the wonderful things that have come out of this. The greatness continues to happen. All the great things that are coming out of this organ donation. You know, I'm fine. I'm healthy and happy. And Jeffrey is alive and well. And I love talking. I've had more than one person has actually been moved to donate an organ because of this scenario. Okay? Now, I don't even have to, in this spot, say, hey, I want you to be a living donor. The point of this is just make sure that in the unlikely event that something happens to you, you can have your organs then go to a person who is in need because you're going to die anyway. I know that's a weird conversation to have, but that's what it is, you know? Great. Time passes. They asked me to be the MC for the Gift of Life celebration at the local zoo. So every year I go there, and the zoo is like for open for just people who are family members of people who have donated and or are recipients. So this is incredible. You've got family members who had a loved one pass, and when they passed, they donated their organs, and you've got the people that they saved are all there. We're looking at the penguins, and it's just a wonderful time. Loved it. I love the people that I work with there, and we always have a good time, and we do social media videos, and it's just typical hosting. In the news this past month, there was a story about a woman who, something happened to her. I don't know if it was something with her brain, but she wasn't feeling well. She lived in Muskegon. She's dead now. And I think she's middle-aged, like 35-year-old woman, and she says to her family, hey, I'm not feeling good. Take me to the hospital. Well, something's going on. She's got a very short amount of time to live. And so something happens. I don't know if it's a brain bleed or what. And goddamn, before you know it, she's brain dead. She's going to die. She is dead, essentially. So her wishes on her organ donor card were that she wanted to donate all of her organs. Well, the family said, no, she didn't want that. And they go, what are you talking about? Yeah, she was talking, she was driving on the, when we were driving, they actually said, when we were driving on the way to the hospital,
She said, I think I'm dying. Make sure they don't take my organs. Now, in my opinion, that sounds like bullshit. And so Gift of Life is like, well, what do we do? You know, her organ, it's a legal binding thing. She said, we have to respect the wishes of the person who is deceased. So we're not sure what to do. Do we let the family do it, or do we, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Well, the family gets out in front of it and says, we want a judge to decide. And Gift of Life is like, oh God, well, how do we handle this? Now, I think in hindsight, they would probably have gone, you're right, and realized that this family are fucking out of their mind, all right? Because remember the video I played of them talking shit about Gift of Life, saying, they're not going to take her. They're not going to take her from us. They're not. It's like, she's dead, God damn it. And she turned it. She wants her organs donated. So this was, and then they're like clapping and cheering, acting like, it's like, she's not alive, God damn it. She's dead. And it's just the oddest goddamn story ever. So when talking about it on this show, I went on Facebook and said, hey, listen to my show today. You'll hear this story. We'll talk about the fire department taking on the police department in hockey. O'Neill eats poop. Oh, and Kook family says no to Gift of Life. And when I put Gift of Life, I didn't put it as like an organization. I just wrote it in lowercase, Gift of Life. But that was enough. That's it right there. Well, like an hour later, I get a phone call. And it's a lady who is kind of like giving the marching orders about this shit. That post has been seen by Gift of Life. And she says, hey, could you maybe take that down? I go, yeah, okay. All right, I will. No problem. I get it. You know, I take it down. And then I also talked about it on the Patreon. And then I get another call. Yeah, could you take down any description of it too? And I'm like, I'm going to leave the video. I'm going to leave the audio up. I'll just remove anything that references it in the here's what I talked about today. Okay, fine. That ends. Yesterday, I get a phone call from same lady who's nice. She's a nice lady. And she goes, yeah, you are no longer, you're out. You're not associated with us anymore. No more going to the zoo. And I go, why? Well, there's been a lot of negative blowback from the whole story, and they're just worried that, I go, it was up for an hour. And what the fuck? Well, the optics. As soon as they start using words like optics, okay, that's when you know you're fucked. Yeah, there's optics there. We've had a lot. I go, I was defending you. Well, yeah, but you see, look, it's like this story is what it is. No matter what you say or do, it's not going to change how this went. I'm not the one who chose to fight it out in court. All right? You're the ones who let this play out in goddamn court. It was there for the world to see. It's a whole goddamn story. Why in the world would me rushing to the defense of you to talk about how wonderful of an organization this is? I mean, goddamn it. Put your fucking foot down. Yeah, but optics, sorry. Oh. So I go, well, so-and-so, I'm mad as hell, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. Thank you. Goodbye. Click. Hung up. Now, I thought that I was mean when I did that. Turns out that when I called back to say, hey, I'm sorry, I lost my temper with you. She goes, I didn't take it that you did. I go, okay, good. Well, all right. This is still ridiculous. I can't believe this is happening. And it's just stupid. Nick writes, they wanted Eric Zaitunian repping them, and they got Eric Zane. Linda says, a handful of people saw that post, and you took it down immediately. The fact that they took weeks to debate it and come to the conclusion that you needed to go is ridiculous. Amy says, optics. You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means, gift of life. So I'll say this. The VP of whatever there is a fucking moron. The person who even thought for a second that this is a good idea to get rid of me, you're a fucking moron. This is stupid. All right? Dumb. The whole thing is dumb. Ugh. I couldn't believe it. So now I have been fired by a charitable organization for defending them. This is an all-timer, in my opinion. God damn. Ryan says, so no one complained. So basically no one complained. And they was looking to cut. I don't know. One star for gift of life. They sold me a pig kidney. You know, and that's the thing. I don't want anybody to, do anything dumb. Like, say, I'm not donating organs. No. Just donate your organs still. This whole thing is ridiculous. What a stupid, stupid scenario. Amy says, if it was on the news, why can't you talk about it? Well, I don't think it was because I talked about it. They were pissed off because I said, kook family says no to gift of life. It's like, come on now. The story alone shows that these people are crazy. Because I say they're crazy doesn't make more people hate gift of life. If they're going to hate gift of life, they're going to hate gift of life because this fucking nutty family is suggesting that gift of life is like the Gestapo ripping organs out of people. I didn't do that. They're crazy. We need a scenario where in this day and age, when someone likes me, a goddamn maverick, points out that someone is crazy as fuck, and sane minds then say, yeah, you're right. You're right. They are fucking crazy. Chris says, a benign and accurate statement. I'll tell you why I know that family is crazy. Because if Diana is hit by a train and her head is on life support, or her body's on life support, and I have to unhook her so that gift of life can get the organs, and then I say, no, she told me she didn't want them. And then the judge says, yeah, all right, you can just bury her with no organs removed. And I start clapping and cheering like she's back alive. That's crazy. That family is a bunch of fucking idiots. And so I said what everybody thought. All right. And once again, it comes to bite me in the ass. Fuck that. Ryan says her head is on life support. Ha ha ha. All right. Fortunately, I got to go. That's my story. Fired from a charitable organization that I was supporting. What the fuck? Typically, when I talk about somebody and I get fired for talking shit about them, it's because I'm talking shit about them. My God. So you're going to kick out the guy who's bullish about everything you do and is a representative to people who, as a spokesperson of how you can change someone's life for organ donation, and I've actually donated the goddamn organ. Holy fucking shit. We need like 3D printing of organs now so that we can just perfectly 3D print organs and put them in people so that Gift of Life goes under. Ryan says, hold that delicious head with magnificent hair high, my friend. You did nothing on this one. I know. That's true. Okay. Sorry for the short show. Nick says, call Wood TV. I'll be back tomorrow right here. Thank you, folks. I love you. Have a good one. Till next time. Bye-bye.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy. But being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.